Streaming sponsored by the Madison Concourse Hotel.
Celebrate New Year's Eve at the Madison Concourse Hotel and Governor's Club. Enjoy live jazz, a surf and turf dinner, comedians, disco with BO5, classic country, a DJ dance party, and a ballroom brunch to start 2025 off right. Details at concoursehotel.com.
Blinken, at a meeting about Syria in Jordan, says the U.S. has been in direct contact with that group.
We've been in contact with HTS and with other parties. We have impressed upon everyone we've been in contact with the importance of finding Austin Tice and bringing him home.
Austin Tice, an American freelance journalist and Marine veteran, kidnapped in Syria in 2012. President-elect Donald Trump will attend the Army-Navy football game today. There's a flight restriction in the area around the stadium in Maryland, and now authorities reminding people that is a no-drone zone as well, as New York Governor Kathy Hochul says this has gone too far. It's after drone activity shut down runways at Stewart Airport north of New York City Friday. She's calling on the federal government to strengthen drone oversight. This is ABC News. 16 people were transported to hospitals in Southwest Florida after two airboats collided Friday. It happened at an Everglades tour business. It's not clear how the crash occurred. A woman who said three college athletes sexually assaulted her in 2006 now says she made the entire thing up. ABC's Steve Osunsami has details.
Nearly 20 years after her story sent shockwaves across the Duke University campus, the dancer who accused three college lacrosse players of raping her is publicly admitting on the Let's Talk with Kat podcast that she lied.
And I want them to know that I love them and they didn't deserve that. And I hope they can forgive me.
With a black accuser and the young and white and well-to-do men she accused, the case was explosive and in the national headlines. Her story eventually fell apart, and the young men who had always maintained their innocence were famously cleared.
That's ABC's Steve Osunsami. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. The Wisconsin Innocence Project is ending the year with some key victories, including helping with the release of two men who each spent decades in prison. But their cases illustrate systemic issues. Judith Ruiz Brandt reports.
David Bintz spent 25 years in prison, and Manuel Cucuta spent 27 years in prison. Both were sentenced to life despite glaring holes in their cases. The Wisconsin Innocence Project believed both are innocent. Project co-director Christopher Lau says it speaks to a greater systemic issue that colors most of their cases and reinforces what it was designed to do.
So part of this is just historical. You know, the way our policing and incarceration system evolved was from basically their vestiges of slavery. And, you know, we try to keep down historically underrepresented people.
He says while not everyone may adopt those views, there is a lot of pressure to close cases and keep people incarcerated. The U.S. incarcerates more people for longer than any other developed country in the world. Compared with Wisconsin's total population, Black and Native people are overrepresented in the incarcerated population, with Black people incarcerated at a rate 11 times higher than white people. Lau says in order to even begin to think about reform, The U.S. and the state of Wisconsin need to re-examine priorities in funding, as well as rethink the point of doling out such long sentences when it doesn't keep communities safer.
Good arguments that it makes us less safe, but we still keep doing it because it's, I think, one, easy politically, and it's because it's where we put all of our money.
He says, regardless of guilt or innocence, there are simply too many people who are incarcerated. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Rain, snow, and freezing rain possible today with highs around 35. For tonight, rain and snow with a low of 33. Cloudy skies for Sunday, a high of 43. 43 and mostly cloudy on Monday. Tuesday, partly sunny, a high around 35.
Right now, 31 degrees.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, you are tuned in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson. I am super excited to be here today. I am in the studios alone because my so-called co-host, you know, they just kind of show up whenever they want. So it's just me and producer Luke today, but we're going to have an amazing show. I know you guys have been missing me. I've been in... I was going to say NIA, but I don't even know. I don't think that's the right acronym for when you're missing in action. Missing in action. MIA.
There we go. You got it.
I'll get myself together. I was so sick last week. I was hacking and just not feeling well. So I didn't want to come into the studio and get other people sick. I'm feeling much better today. I still feel a little congested in like my sinus areas. But when I went to the doctor yesterday, they said I was fine. You know, you go to the doctor, they always say you're fine. I never went to the doctor and they're like, you're not fine.
That's a good sign, though.
No, I don't think it is. I think they don't enough questions.
Okay, that's fair.
I remember when I was younger, you know, maybe 20 years, 25 years ago. And I remember going to the doctor and they asked you all kind of questions about every and anything. Now they just wait for you to tell them. And if you don't tell them the right thing or relate things that you may not even think of that's health related to the conversation, it'll just go unnoticed, you know?
I'm the worst about going to the doctor, so I can't really relate.
Yeah, most men.
It's just one of those things where, you know, you get into this thing in your late 20s, early 30s, where you're like, do I really need... And I need to start going again. But
yeah, because as soon as you start hitting late 30s, Luke, everything starts breaking down.
Yeah, my wife's getting on my case. She's like, you just need to go for your annual, your annual physical. Yeah. I'm like, all right,
prostate check. You got to get your colon check when you started hitting up there.
I'm still well early 30s, so okay. I don't have to worry about that.
Okay, but you still got 10 years.
I got some time.
Okay. Okay, yeah, I'm living out of my generation time frame right now, so everything needs to be checked because everything's a little, you know, it just makes noise now, everything. My knees, my hip, my back, my neck, everything.
Anytime I do bend over, like I do like a little squat, my knees do crack because I played a lot of soccer and I was a catcher when I was in baseball.
Yeah.
And so my knees aren't the greatest, but like I'll do like a little squat and like other people will hear my knees crack and they're like, oh, that didn't sound good. I'm like, that's just a normal day for me.
My partner always says that, like, what was that? I'm like, oh, that was just my collarbone.
That's not supposed to make that noise.
Every part of my body makes noise. It's fine. It's fine. I'm adjusting. You're tuned into the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. We're just checking in. It's the top of the morning and everything. So, but I always love to start our show off with conversations about relationships. It is my opinion and my understanding that relationships, specifically for people known as Black, is political by nature. And we are constantly trying to figure out how to exist in love or how to be love, how to project love, how to
have love, how to be loving, all those things, with the understanding that in the context in which we exist, which is white supremacy, racism, loving one another can be really hard. One, because most of us are very much so traumatized from institutions, systems, and institutions, I mean like marriage, family dynamics and relationships, churches sometimes have traumatic experience for a lot of us, and that all supersedes race, right? I think that's just a human thing and experience as it relates to trauma. However, what I understand for people known as Black is a lot of the things that an average human experiences in their lifetime is compounded because of the context of our existence and how power dynamics are at play in our world and how they play out in people's activities, which affects us on a different level. So I always like to start with the conversations around relationships and love. It's one of the things that I find in a lot of our activities as I do a lot of group therapy, psychoeducation, a lot of workshops and facilitations on communications and in relationships, whether we're talking about politics or whatever the subject is, it always seems to come back to relationships. So if you ever wonder why I start there in our show, that's why. So thank you for taking time with us and being a listener to the Black Conversion Show. So I wanted to start off, I heard this clip on TikTok, and I am the worst because I find random reels and clips, and I have no idea who these people are because I don't be seeing their names, and sometimes it's shared by another person, so you never really know who you're listening to. So I just sometimes have Luke play these. Say,
I'm trying to look at the handle, but sometimes it's even
it's
like really hard
there.
To see. It's your, yeah. And so TikTok's pretty good about that, where yeah. it shows it, but it doesn't, it's not the most visible, yeah. like to read or
at
I guess
all.
Legible. Yeah.
And someone like me, who's not like a social media person, I mean, I'm a Facebook person because for us older people, Facebook seems to be the easiest thing for us, per my children, who says, just stick to Facebook. Mom, that's for old people. So I haven't really had the opportunity to perfect TikTok or Instagram or any of those things. So I could never really find things. But I do have this clip that I found was really interesting about how do you know when people are genuine? And I mean, in intimate relationships, personal relationships, friendships, and otherwise, I thought some of the things that he spoke about was right on point. So Luke, let's start with that sound bite on how do you know if relationships are genuine and see what he has to say.
This is a different way to see how genuine somebody actually is. And you do this by looking at what they don't show you. That's right. You're going to look at what they lack. It's going to tell you so much about them. Here we go. It's going to make sense in a second. If they lack accountability, they will shift the blame. That's what you will see. If they lack communication skills, they're going to say that you are arguing. If they lack emotional intelligence, they're going to call you sensitive. If they lack self-awareness, they're going to criticize everybody else around them and those flaws. If they lack honesty, they're going to distort the truth to fit their narrative. If they lack boundaries, they are going to overstep yours and make believe they're not even there. If they lack integrity, they'll justify anything wrong that they do. If they lack empathy, they're going to dismiss your feelings. And last one, this is a different way to see how genuine...
Oh, cut off there for the last one.
Oh, I was like, what happened to the sound there?
I was going to say, the clip unfortunately just ends. So
oh, it just
ends last
there?
One. Yeah.
Oh, dang, that sucks. I was like, what happened, Luke? I was going to blame you. Okay.
it's the reel that I got. That's where the gentleman stopped. Okay. But it's Your Peace of Mind 30 is the TikTok account.
Oh, okay. Who knows who that is? I have
yeah,
no idea.
I'm not familiar with the name. That's the handle we got, though.
Okay, right. Because the handle could be different than the actual person speaking. So who knows? But I thought he made some great points about paying attention to if people are genuine in your life. And again, this is not just about intimate relationships. This is friendships. This is, coworkers. I find that, and I might be a little wounded and biased, but I find that people actually aren't genuine. I don't know if we're not taught to be genuine, authentic, or if it's not safe. Because I don't want to blame people or make people or judge people, but I've found that people genuinely, don't know how to be genuine, don't know how to be real. And I really think it's because we're taught that we must be something other than who we are in our world, just kind of how society is. But one of the things he said is lack of accountability. So if you're in a relationship, friendship, otherwise, your parents, whatever, and people are unable to say, you know what, I did that thing and I'm sorry and I apologize. And I didn't mean to do that, or I did mean to do it at the time, but, you know, I did it out of anger. If they're not able to be accountable, that is a sign that they... that they're not safe, I think. I don't know. What would you say about that, Luke? Like, if someone around you isn't able to be accountable? Because, I mean, everybody makes mistakes.
Yeah, I think everybody makes mistakes. But I think the clip there made an excellent point. It's like, what they lack is, like, knowing those things.
Yeah.
Like, that those are tells, kind mm-hmm. of. And it helps you engage, I think, better with other people.
Yeah.
Because you can't fix everybody. You can't make somebody more accountable. You can't make somebody more like being able to identify that, though, is something that we got to talk more about.
Yep.
Because I think sometimes people just like leave it at that, where it's like, oh, this person lacks accountability.
Yeah.
It just stays at that.
Yeah. And it's not cool. It's not cool. It's unsafe. And folks who lack accountability oftentimes shift blame, right? You ever get in a conversation with someone, they shifted to you and you're like, wait a minute, this wasn't even about me. This is about you. And a lot of times you can see that in people who project or, I don't know, have attributes of narcissism. Nowadays, everybody's a narcissist. I often say, I have narcissistic characteristics. We all do. I think it's like the spectrum. Like, how far are you shifting blame on everything? I think I've grown to practice self-awareness, I'm pretty good at accountability. I mean, sometimes I don't want to hear it, right? I don't want people to tell me that I'm wrong. And I sometimes get frustrated, but often I can come back the next day and say, you're right. You know what I mean? Like, I'm bogus. You're right. I'm going to do better. Because I do believe in personal growth. I do believe in personal improvement and self-awareness. And you actually can't practice those things if you lack accountability. Because growth and personal improvement requires you to, one, acknowledge where you're at versus where you want to be. Two, it requires you to accept where you're at versus where you want to be. And then it requires you to act. That's what I call my triple A's: acknowledge, accept it, and then act. You got to do something about the thing that you want to do better in, right? And not because people outside of you is telling you you need to do better, but because you desire to do better. The second thing he said is lacking communication, right? So when someone lacks communication skills, they will always say that you're arguing. They always say, you're always arguing, you're always nagging, because they actually don't know how to engage in a conversation when it comes to conflict. So then they have to make it on you. Like, I'm not talking to you. Or they say things like, I don't feel like thinking about this right now, or I don't want to talk about this right now, because really they lack communication skills. And these things are really things that we should be teaching our children, and children should be learning in school, which is not part of our school criteria or curriculum at all. Like, communication skills, accountability, all things you need to embody in order to have healthy relationships. And I would say often, not just healthy relationships, but to be successful in life, because you will find conflict in every activity in your life: careers, jobs, contract management, negotiating business deals, personal relationships. Another thing he said is lack of self-awareness. Like, you can't approve on things that you don't think there's a problem. Like, you know, I'm not a problem. Everything about me is perfect. That's some bull crap, because we all have areas of that we need to improve on. If you ever find that you don't see anything wrong with you, and people are constantly or consistently saying, hey, these things are wrong with you, you might be the common denominator. So again, you're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. And as always, I start off the show talking about relationships. I'm going to continue this conversation in relationships, because there's a few more points I want to review with you when we return. So don't go anywhere. We're also going to talk about Trump and his TERFs and how it's going to affect every American. So stay tuned. You don't want to miss this. Reflection in the mirror, don't decline. I can't even lie, lie, lie. I put that on my mama, on my hood.
A Voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain.
Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. But I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
All right, it's your girl, Brandi Grayson, on the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM WMDX. We are back in the building. It is Saturday. I'm so happy to be here. It's cold as heck outside, but life is good. God is good. It is all good, okay? So prior to break, we were talking about how do you know if people are genuine, if they're safe, I would say. And sometimes people can be unsafe and they may be people who desire to do better, you know? So I don't share these ideas or thoughts to say you should just cut people off, because as humans, we are messy and we all have areas of growth and improvement. I think what's the most important is, are people willing to look at themselves and are people willing to do the work? Because people don't, as Black, and the reason we start off in relationship conversations is for us, and in my opinion, is all political, right? And for people known as Black, it's not a lot of us, especially in like Madison, Wisconsin, in the Dane County area. We're limited in terms of our options in the pool for dating, the pool for anything. You have to travel. You have to like go outside of the walls of Dane County. And some of us don't have those privileges. And I think because of the context of our existence, this program, this matrix that I've learned to term white supremacy, racism, it has all these social constraints. And what I mean is it creates this way of being with one another where we learn to hate one another and we learn to hate ourselves as a result, because if I hate you, I hate me, because we're reflections of one another. So the work of unpacking some of these things and becoming more authentic and becoming better as a person, it takes two to dance. It takes two to tango. And the question is, are you in relationship with people who are willing to tangle with you, whether it's intimate relationships or friendships or other, right? Co-workers, all of that. And if they're not willing to tangle, then that's when I think the conversation needs to move on to maybe they're not safe. But before break, we were talking about lack of self-awareness and how when people lack self-awareness, they're not able to acknowledge or accept that there may be areas of improvement for them, right? One of the things I often say, we have to be able to look at our childhood trauma. One of the things I've learned by doing the shadow and dark work, what I call trauma recovery, it's recovering from the bull crap from your childhood and the society and systems and all of that, is that I am a people pleaser. And I do it because in my childhood growing up, there's a lot of alcoholism, a lot of drug abuse, a lot of chaos all the time. So people are always fighting, getting drunk. They were always high. In order to placate them or to please them, I was always running around. What can I do for you? Doing my best to keep the energy and other people and other kids specifically safe. I always took on the mother role. Even when I was 9, I was taking care of my brothers, right? One of my brothers was older than me and I was still taking care of him. It's very much so in my nature to be a mother. So I've been a mother for people who don't know me. I'm Brandi Grayson, by the way. People who don't know me, I've been a mother since the age of 13 and I'm 44. I had my first child at 13 and I have been a treatment foster parent since I was 23. So all I know is parenting and nurturing and giving. But I also, because of this tendency to be people pleasing, that is a trauma response. And it also creates this way that I end up being with people that's rooted in resentment and bitterness, because then I end up feeling like I'm the victim of them. There's this, I forgot the guy name, but this dude, he created this triangle, what he calls the drama triangle, and how often, if when we lack self-awareness, we move from being the persecutor to the victim to the rescuer. And in doing so, it causes this negative way of being with people around us. Even when we become a rescuer, we're always doing for others. We're always captain saving people or running to the rescue. And that's actually a trauma response too. So lack of awareness of the way of being can cause us to be in toxic relationships and reflect toxic relationships and attract toxic relationships. So self-awareness is super uber duper important. And prior to break, we listened to this clip and this guy kind of ran down some of these characteristics to pay attention to if you want to know if someone's been genuine or not. Excuse me. Another thing was lack of emotional intelligence. So a lot of us don't learn what emotional intelligence is, right? I didn't know that word until I was in my 30s, okay? And nobody ever said, like, you need to learn how to master your emotions. You need to learn how to control yourself. You need to learn how not to respond from your place of feelings or being reactive, right? You got to be, you can't be reactive. You have to be responsive. And what the difference between reactive and responsive means is really holding enough space from what's occurring, that incident that occurred, giving yourself space to breathe and to process what's happening and then respond. A lot of us are responding from our nervous system, our what I call our automatic nervous system is called automated nervous system or something like that, ANS. But this nerve, this system that's, you know, part of our brain network and all of that, is this is the system that's formulated in childhood and always until you're 26. And if you experience a lot of trauma, a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, we become very hypervigilant. Did I say that right? Whatever. You know what I'm saying. And we often have exaggerated responses to situations because our nervous system and our fight and flight response system is out of whack. So our cortisone levels are often high, and it's because of our childhood, it's because of our trauma, it's the way that our brain learned to deal with life around us and a way for us to keep us safe. So when we respond from that nervous system, we're living from the place of chance and not choice. And we're living from this place of past and not present, meaning that you're responding from past experiences, past interactions, past trauma, and you're actually not reacting or responding to the situation in front of you or the person. So when someone, what we call I'm triggered, the trigger isn't even about the person in front of you. It's about your past. But if you're not practicing self-awareness, if you're not doing the work, then the person in front of you is not only getting your negative response to their thing, whatever they did, they're getting your emotional response from what your mama did or what your daddy did, you know? So it's so important for all of us, first of all, to get some therapy, okay? And all of us need therapy because life is not easy. And our parents and our grandparents, there's so much that they didn't know that they did not know to teach you or to give to you. And I feel like we're in this place in the world where we have more information on trauma, more information on our nervous system, more information on how our brains and the mechanisms of our brains work as a result to this trauma. So get help, y'all. That's all I'm going to say. So the conversation at hand for folks who are just tuning in, and thank you for listening to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM. We're talking about, how do you know if people are genuine? We talked about folks who lack accountability and shift blame to you, people who lack communication and blame you or say you're being argumentative when you want to discuss issues. And sometimes we call this gaslighting too, right? People who lack self-awareness, they don't know they have an issue, whether it's with drinking or being too aggressive or whatever that thing is for them. And folks who lack emotional intelligence, they're not able to respond from a place of wholeness, but often are responding from a place of injury that often has nothing to do with you. And also, the other thing is they lack honesty. They don't know how to tell the truth. If they don't know how to tell the truth, then they're going to always blame you or always justify their behavior or become the victim, right? They always are the victim of you or someone else. I did that because of this, or I didn't have a choice to do this because they just lack honesty with themselves first and foremost. And if they can't be honest with themselves about who they are in the world and how they're showing up in the world, they darn sure can't be honest with you. So don't expect honesty from these folks. So I have a couple more things to discuss and then we're going to move on. I have stuff in the news I want to talk about. Jay-Z, these tariffs, these all kind of stuff that's in the news. So let's get to the tea and move away from this relationship stuff. So stay tuned so you can hear the tea on 92.7 FM Black Conversion Show with your girl Brandi Grayson. I'll be back in a gif.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The U.S. considers the Syrian group that ousted President Bashar Assad a terrorist organization. But Secretary of State Antony Blinken, at a meeting about Syria in Jordan, says the U.S. has been in direct contact with that group.
We've been in contact with HTS and with other parties. We have impressed upon everyone we've been in contact with the importance of finding Austin Tice and bringing him home.
Austin Tice, an American freelance journalist and Marine veteran kidnapped in Syria in 2012. President-elect Donald Trump will attend the Army-Navy football game today. There's a flight restriction in the area around the stadium in Maryland, and now authorities reminding people that is a no-drone zone as well, as New York Governor Kathy Hochul says this has gone too far. It's after drone activity shut down runways at Stewart Airport north of New York City Friday. She's calling on the federal government to strengthen drone oversight. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Packers head to Seattle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Another game in prime time for Green Bay. The 9-4 Packers take on the 8-5 Seahawks tomorrow night at Lumen Field. Packers wide receiver Bo Melton spent his rookie season after being drafted by Seattle and says it's definitely a loud, noisy place to play.
It's real loud, Lumen Field. It'd be shaking. It'd be rocking in there for sure. It's just, I'll say it's definitely a loud crowd. They love the Seahawks. Great atmosphere for sure to play in.
Packers defensive back Jair Alexander is out for the game, still dealing with a knee injury. He tried to make a comeback a few weeks ago against the Bears, but had to leave after just a few series. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
I just didn't want to have another situation like Chicago, where you're in there for a couple plays, and it puts a bind on every other area. Puts you some guys in some tough spots in regards to special teams. And then also you want to get the guys that are going to have to go play. You want to get them the reps. So I think that's an important part of it.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Rain, snow, and freezing rain possible today with highs around 35. For tonight, rain and snow with a low of 33. Cloudy skies for Sunday, a high of 43. 43 and mostly cloudy on Monday. Tuesday, partly sunny, a high around 35.
Right now, 31 degrees.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We're talking about the Act 10 overturned by a Dane County judge.
I think it's important for everyone to know that this was the state that in 1959 first granted public employees the right to organize and bargain collectively. We have a lot to take back. You know, I used to say take back America, but I say take back Wisconsin.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbus Show.
Pat Kreitlow, all your time in the media, television, radio, what have you, what was one or two of the oddest things that people were complaining about?
As a TV anchor, your hair.
You have some of the finest hair around. How could anybody criticize your hair?
Oh, well, because a consultant forced me to change it.
Were there focus groups?
I'm not aware of any focus groups other than the audience, which universally hated it. It was a bowl haircut.
The Todd Allbus Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Brandy's in the building. Yes, on 92.7 FM, you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show. Thank you for joining me today. So far, we've been talking about relationships for like 20 minutes. It's all good because, you know what we do is trauma recovery. And we understand that relationships in vulnerable populations, specifically people known as Black, is political by nature. But I would like to move on. But there's a couple more points I have to make, okay, y'all? Another point is, how do you know if people are genuine? Another point is, we talked about honesty, is lack of boundaries. They don't know how to set boundaries. So there's folks that you know that let their baby mamas, baby daddies direct them or control them, or friends or families or mamas or daddies, or lack of boundaries with their own children. If they lack boundaries, then they can never respect your boundaries. They don't know what that means. And when you do put up a boundary, they'll be offended. You know, it'll offend them and it'll hurt them and it'll feel like a violation and oppression to them because they have no idea how to respect or even understand boundaries. And another one is lack of integrity. First of all, y'all, this is big for me. It's big. Integrity is a value statement I live by at work with my staff and contracts and my relationships. And for me, integrity is being your word, right? Being your word and honoring your word as if your word is an extension of you. It's like, if you wouldn't put your hand on the stove and burn it, then why would you say you're going to do this and then don't do it? That's the same thing to me. Like, it means everything to me. So if you've ever been in a personal relationship with me, friendship, and you lack integrity and I just stop talking to you, that's probably why, because I just can't do it. You can't teach people how to have integrity. Integrity is so important. And it really just means too, integrity doesn't mean like you don't mess up. If I say I'm going to come and help you move and something happens and I can't follow through, it just means that if I know that I can't do something, then I'm going to call you and say, Hey Tanya, hey Tiffany, I know I was supposed to do this thing and I apologize, but I'm not going to be able to do it. However, what I can do instead is A, B, and C. That's integrity to me. That's what we call renegotiating your integrity when you fall out of integrity. And what I teach at Urban Triage through our Supporting Healthy Black Families workshops and our personal development work that I do with folks all over the place is I tell people integrity is like sitting on a chair and one of the legs of the chair lacks integrity. What happens when you sit on that chair? The chair falls. It's not workable. The same thing is true as human beings. If you lack integrity, this isn't workable. You're not able to be trusted in relationships and you don't feel safe to people. So if you are that kind of person that what we say is always shifty and it's not dependable, you lack integrity and you need to get yourself together, because oftentimes folks who lack integrity desire to be in supportive relationships but have no idea how to support. So you think about that. You have to give in order to get. Amen. And last but not least is lack of empathy. Inability to put someone's self into your shoes. If you do something that hurts me and then you blame me for my hurt or justify you hurting me versus being able to see yourself, be like, how would I feel if someone did that to me? And being able to meet that person there, then you're not safe. And all these things are super important. And again, I don't care what kind of relationship it is, friendship, intimate relationship with your parents, children, whatever, job, contract, business, all these things are super important. Okay, so we're going to move on from relationships. I can absolutely talk about relationships and attributes of it all day from the context of white supremacy. But what I do want to talk about is this CEO of United Healthcare being murdered in cold blood. Like, this is it. And the fact that all on the internet, folks are like feeling no empathy towards this murder. Luke, what are your thoughts?
I think it's pretty wild.
Yeah.
To see the, I think just the reaction that the masses have had on social media is wild to see. Mm-hmm. I truly haven't followed the case a whole lot. Yeah. It feels like this is going to be one of those next, American true crime stories. Yep. Like, we're going to get a whole lot of podcasts and Netflix or some other streaming specials mm-hmm. about all the in-depth, this is what happened kind of thing.
Yeah.
To me, I don't pay attention to that whole stuff. Like, the true crime, it's just not
not your thing.
It's not my thing.
Forensic crimes.
So yeah, it's
forensic files.
I'm just like, yeah, murdering is bad, and yeah, a healthcare system that
sucks
doesn't that goes out of its way to deny claims, mm-hmm. and then have executives make a killing each year off of it.
Literally,
that sucks too. So it all sucks.
It super sucks, and it was like one of those things where I realized, just like the conversation with Trump and Kamala. It's like this very huge divide, and which often leads to us treating each other in a very inhumane way. And I think that's sad. So this guy who's human, right? He's a human being, was murdered in cold blood. He was a father. He was an uncle. He was somebody's son. And I get it. The job that he played and the role that he plays is messed up. Like he... And then the thing about TikTok and social media is all these folks start telling their stories about how their claims were denied, and like crazy claims around not being able to get, you know, like someone said they had some radiation thing put in their eye because something hit their eye, and they had to, the only procedure was to put this radioactive thing. I don't even remember the procedure, but they literally had to stay in their room and stay away from people because they were radioactive. And the United Healthcare came and denied the claim to have it removed. So he had to pay thousands of dollars to have this thing removed as if it wasn't necessary. I mean, it's cirrhosis. The whole system is terrible. I went to the doctor the other day, and I have digestive problems. Y'all know I don't care. I tell y'all all my business. Some say I'm a little bit too transparent, okay? It does get me in trouble sometimes. Matter of fact, my son is very similar to me. He's not a good liar at all. Sometimes he overtells the truth, or if he's trying to be sneaky, because kids are always trying to sneak, I'd be like, did you do this, Messiah? And he'll be like, yes, I did. And I did this and I did that, and it's over there and you can find it there. And I just look at him sometimes and I laugh, and I have to turn away because I'm trying to be mad and serious as a parent. But I just like, boy, you is...
Yeah, ask one question right. And told the whole story. There you go.
He gonna be a snitch, y'all. Don't do no crimes. We ain't gonna tell it all. Okay. But anyway, I digress. So my thing is like, and like I was saying, just about like, how do we, I don't know, reconcile this? And I was talking about my digestive problem. I went to the doctor, y'all. Actually, yesterday when I went for my cold, and we were talking about my digestive problem. And digestive issues are very much so related to stress. So I was asking him about this medication, Rigove, actually, which is used for diabetes. And they have all these off brands, and it's also used for weight loss. And I had actually taken Rigove a few months ago to lose some weight. And I did. I lost like 20 pounds. Amen. But it's expensive and the insurance will not cover it. So I'm having this conversation with my doctor. Like, I can't continue to afford it because at our job, Urban Triage, we reimburse up to like $5,000 to $10,000 for any medication, co-payments or anything like that, because we don't offer health insurance because it's too expensive for a small organization to have group coverage. So we have other kind of wellness benefits to compensate for that. So one of them is we'll, you know, reimburse 100% up to $10,000 of medical stuff. So anyway, I've been doing that, but I hit my max and I'm like, I can't afford it anymore. But one of the side effects for the Wegovy for me was it cured my digestive problem. So when I stopped taking it, and my digestive problem started back. So that's the conversation I was having with my doctor. And I was like, well, maybe I could just take a couple more shots and get my stomach back right. And then he was like, well, the insurance isn't going to cover it. And I said, can you try to do a pre-authorization for my stomach because it's medically needed and required? He's like, I'm going to try, but I don't think so. And you know what this brother told me? He was white. He wasn't a brother, but I really liked him though. He was a super cool dude. But anyway, he's gonna say, he's like, I'm gonna really pee you off right now. And I was like, what? He said, do you know that it only costs 1 cent to make one shot of Rigove?
Yeah.
1 cent, y'all. In the United States, we pay between $900 to $1,000 a month to have that prescription. And he said, in Europe, people only pay $97.
It's insane.
Something's not right. There needs.
We saw it with EpiPens.
Yes.
Like EpiPens used to be like you could get an EpiPen for if you're in emergency mm-hmm. situations. You're in anaphylactic shock and your windpipe's going to close
right.
because of an allergic reaction. They're like $50. Now they're like hundreds and hundreds of dollars because the big pharmaceutical companies and like venture capitalists mm-hmm. saw that there was an opportunity mm-hmm. that people that need these
yep.
need these devices for in cases of emergency
mm-hmm.
that they're going to buy them regardless. We yep. can make the price whatever we want to make
supply
the price.
Supply and demand. Yeah. Yep. And it's just inhumane. And I don't understand how we as a country can operate that like this and other countries don't. I don't understand how we can say healthcare isn't a need for all. Other countries don't make this kind of money off of healthcare or pharmaceuticals or prison, right? And then when we have these conversations about these industries, it becomes this, well, we need more jails. We need more prisons. What is wrong with us as Americans? You know, I mean, not us. I mean, I'm not the one in power, because if I was in power, a lot of our systems would run a little differently and be more human focused and centered. But I can't get with it psychologically. So anyway, I digress as I talk about United Healthcare CEO being murdered. The dude has been arrested. And I often think, like, if that dude was black, he would have been killed. And did you guys know other CEOs of healthcare insurance have now got security and bodyguards? So not only did this murder lead to conversations around the denials of claims, but now other CEOs are feeling unsafe. So now that company's money is going to go to make sure that they have private security. This is ridiculous. Not to address the issues, because I'm sure that's part of why this dude killed this dude. You know what I mean? Anyway, I digress. Oh, you know what, Luke? Let's do this clip real quick before we go to our next segment. Let's transition y'all to this turf conversation. Play any one of those. Play the first one. Because okay. This guy, I don't know his name either, one of them TikTok rails, he breaks down the impact on Americans in this turf conversation. So your boy, your new president that y'all Americans voted for is saying that he want to enforce 25% turfs. And let's talk about how that's going to affect Americans. Go ahead, Luke.
Trump did is place tariffs on Chinese imports. By the time the imports get here, China's been paid for the stuff. Maybe they get net 120 terms, right? But in a sense, China has already transacted. The American company who brings the goods in pays the tariffs.
Really?
You're kidding right now.
No, I thought he said he was raising the tariffs by 50 to 100% for Chinese imports.
The tariffs are paid by the company that does the importing. So if you want to build a building in the U.S. and you import Chinese steel, you pay China for the steel, you pay the U.S. government the tariff. This is why it's inflationary.
You pay it.
Economists have looked at Trump's tariff proposal and said it would make stuff more expensive for Americans by adding the cost of the tariffs to the total cost of production. So that's the way tariffs work. A lot of people don't seem to know how tariffs work, which is sad, because this is how people end up getting sucked into Trump's vortex. He says something that sounds good. I'm going to punish China with tariffs.
Yeah.
In this case, that sounds good. You know, Chinese tariffs. They're paid by the American companies.
Wow.
That's why it's so damaging.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Send me this part of the conversation.
No, I will. I genuinely have no idea. I thought China was paying those.
Yeah, I think
China's not paying them.
I think we all thought China was paying them. We all thought everybody else was paying these taxes. Everybody's like, oh, Trump is going to, you know, he's about to do right by our economy. He's about to help us out. No, y'all going to want to... 2026, you're going to go to buy a house, and the cost of steel, the cost of wood and framing, and the cost of the supplies is about to double. And it's not going to double for China and the other countries. It's going to double for Americans. Because if you heard what he said, the TERS, yeah, he can apply them, but China doesn't pay the TERS. We pay the TERS to import them. The company does. And who do you think the company is going to put that cost on? Us.
I was going to say, that was crickets. It's going to be the customers.
It's going to be us. And this is going to impact small business, I think, the most, right? Because we have small local businesses who, we get everything outside of America, y'all. Everything's imported, from your cotton to your products, to make products, to the plastic, to the steel. Everything, every little cell that we use to make a cell phone, manufacturing, we import everything. And when we have people who are selling jewelry or selling gems or stones, or I just think about the local businesses here, they're going to be in trouble. Y'all messed up when y'all voted for Trump, but more on Trump when we return, because I have more conversations I want to have regarding the TERS. I also want to talk about Jay-Z and talk about this cop, this black cop in New York who was suspended for $15, y'all. Oh my God, I think they wanted to fire her. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show. Stay tuned. I'll be back in a gift.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
It's the center of the Kringle-making world. Racine County wears the crown, and bakers like those at O&H create more than 10,000 of the delicate oval-shaped pastry every single day.
Just a great pastry. One that's hard to make, though, hard to replicate.
Peter Olison is a third-generation owner. O&H is celebrating its 75th year, but do you know if Wisconsin considers the Kringle our official pastry? The answer coming up.
The 500-square-foot corner bakery to offering our products by mail.
Baker Mike Massanellis says their Kringle is shipped near and far. The tradition began when the Danes came to Racine in the late 1800s, and it is that past and present which created our official state pastry, the Kringle, in 2013. And it's a you can't have just one slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, I like that. It almost sounds like some gospel music. Okay, Luke, I feel you. Okay. You are tuned in to the Black Conversion Show on 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest. We're almost out of time. I know y'all love me and you need more time with me, but I gotta go.
We got Tanya Ray on Facebook giving the comment. WMDX, please make the show longer or give Brandi additional show.
Okay, because y'all be shortchanging me. Y'all know my fans need to hear me, okay? And my haters, too. Hey, man, the haters are the best. They just give me all kind of energy. I love y'all. Okay. Anyway, let's get back to the show. We were talking prior to break about TERFs and how they're really going to screw over Americans. I don't have a lot of time. Next time, I want to talk about some of your boy appointments to his cabinet and how some of them aren't working out and how one, I can't remember the one guy, but his mama was like, "You ain't nothing." What guy is that?
It was Pete Hegseth. So he's a co-host of the weekend Fox and Friends.
That's
and
right.
Then he is the nominee for the Department of Defense.
Defense, y'all. Defense. You're going to have him. I just, you know what? Let's not even talk about it. I get so triggered when I think. I say, we got a president with no education who can't read, write, or complete a sentence or thought or articulate in any intellectual way. And then all of his appointments reflect that, like just mediocre, less than mediocre. I think IQs less than, you know what? I'm not even gonna do that because I'm gonna offend some people, but the IQs are so low that I'm sure they rode the special buses, okay? Either way, let's just move on. One of the things I wanted to talk about, too, is the allegations made against Jay-Z, y'all. A young lady who is anonymous has filed a claim against Jay-Z, a civil suit. And I guess she tried to settle out of court prior to making it public. But she is alleging that Jay-Z and your boy P. Diddy slept with her at the age of 13. I think that was like 20 years ago, maybe 20 years ago after MTV Music Awards, a party that took place at P. Diddy's house. She alleged that P. Diddy had her picked up in a limo, brought her back to the house, handed her a drink. Upon taking the drink, she felt dizzy. She felt disoriented. She went to lay down. A few minutes later, Jay-Z and P. Diddy entered the room and sexually assaulted her while a woman celebrity watched. The woman celebrity is unnamed in the claim, in the suit, and Jay-Z responded by basically saying, this is not true, and this is, you know, unheard of, and I don't know what, you know, what this person is on, but if this was true, if anybody commits such a crime, they should face the law at the fullest extent. That's what Jay-Z said. I don't know. It's the first person, the first celebrity named connected to P. Diddy in the lawsuits. I don't have an opinion because nowadays I realize that most of what I think I know, I actually don't know, right? And the one thing I'm not going to do is say someone's a liar when I don't have enough information and everything's on social media. But I do think it's the allegations is wild. And I honestly hope they're not true because it's just, it's sad. And if they are true, I hope he suffers big time. In local news, we have the Madison Common Council has voted 13-2 to censor Alder Charles Mandisi. I think that's his name. Mandisi.
I'm not exactly certain how it's pronounced though, but I think that's correct.
he's an Alder person on the City of Madison Common Council. He has been under investigation and found to be engaged in inappropriate behavior with three women. You can check out more details on Madison 365 website. They wrote an article regarding this, but he has been under fire for the last year or two with claims from women of sexual assault, sexual harassment, domestic violence. I think Gloria Reyes, who was the mayor deputy a few years ago and who also was the president of MMSC, Madison Metropolitan School District Board, and who also sat on city council. Did she sit on city council? I might be making that up. I don't know if Gloria Reyes, but she also was a police officer, a detective, I think. But she dated him. And she also came forward last year saying that making claims of domestic violence against him. And the question really is why do we, how do we, what do we do about this? I don't know. I don't know all the details. So check out the article on Madison 365. But yeah. I think when someone finds an investigation that a person has been found inappropriate behavior with three women and some who sit on the city council, I think that should be automatically be kicked off. But that's just me. Also, I want to talk about the police sergeant who in New York, NYPD police sergeant who earns over $200,000 a year has been accused of stealing $15 worth of cough medicine from her police station. And as a result, y'all know what color she is, right? Do I have to get explicit? She black, you know, she black. So apparently she used some cough medicine that belonged to someone other than her, and they fired her, okay? And this woman makes over $200,000. So I hope she sues, and I hope she wins big time. But they have this 41-year-old woman charged with two counts of petty larceny. Y'all just got to read up on it. You can find it. Just Google it. It's outrageous, to say the least. And did you hear about, Luke, did you hear about the young lady that was at an award show who died?
I did not.
Because an allergic reaction to the food. She was a Disney influencer, a black girl. She told them that she had allergies to peanuts, and they gave her the peanuts anyway. And when she was informing people around her that she was having an allergic reaction, they said, you're okay, and they kept on taking pictures, and she died.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
No, I did not hear about that. I'm going to have to look into that story.
Yeah, that is crazy, y'all. And again, you know who I am. I'm Brandi Grayson, CEO, founder of Urban Triage. We just had a great Giving Tuesday. Giving Tuesday is a global day of giving that happened on December 3rd. We're raising funds for our youth program for youth who are transitioning out of foster care and youth who are facing homelessness. You can find more information on our website, Urban Triage, T-R-A. GE.org. It's still time to give. We are $18,000 away from our $80,000 goal. We've raised $30,000 in UW Health and Roots and Wings Foundation matched the other $30,000. So we're at almost $62,000, making us like $18,000 away. So technically, we only need you to give us $9,000 so that we can make our $18,000 goal, because it's dollar for dollar match. The match is good until December 31st, y'all. So visit Urban Triage, support the folks who are the most vulnerable in our community, and also sign up for our newsletter so you can keep up with what we're doing in the community, from housing to transformative education to agriculture. Urban Triage, we do it all, okay? The People's Choice Nonprofit. I really do appreciate you guys tuning in today, this Saturday, and I hope you're keeping warm, and I'll be back next week, and then I want you to write the radio station and tell them that I need more time because you need me in your life. All right, thank you for tuning in to 92.7 FM. Until next week.
Come to the Lazy Elf Lounge to cheer on the green and gold. Enjoy free Jello shots with every Green Bay touchdown. Stock up on $20 buckets of White Claw and High Noon, $15 assorted buckets of Busch Light, Miller, and Bud products, plus $4 off wing baskets when you dine in. Come for all the fun on game days at the Lazy Elf Lounge, North Stoughton Road in Madison. Follow them on Facebook and find the full menu at LazyElfLounge.com.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. More mysterious drone sightings over a number of states, including New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Virginia.
The aircraft now getting the attention of public officials. Mendham Borough Mayor Christine Serrano has organized a task force to track, record, and share drone sightings.
At this rate, they need to let us know if it's their equipment, if our government owns this. And that's it.
In a bulletin obtained by ABC News, the New Jersey Division of Fire Safety warning downed or landed drones should not be approached.
ABC's Ike Ajachi. New details in the killing of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. Police now say the suspect did not take a bus, took the train to Pennsylvania. And we've learned that the FBI and NYPD spoke to Luigi Mangione's mother a day before he was arrested. American Travis Timmerman handed over to the U.S. after months in a Syrian prison, but there's no word yet on the whereabouts of American Austin Tice. This is ABC News. A health scare for Nancy Pelosi.
We're told that the former Speaker of the House sustained a hip injury after falling down some stairs and is likely to require surgery. She is currently hospitalized there in Luxembourg. She was traveling with that group of lawmakers there to commemorate the 80th anniversary of the Battle of the Bulge.